two things to bring to you first, if we could.
All righty.
You got this, Cindy? Okay. These are two that have already been voted on. We haven't gotten into the system because when I went to enter them, they were actually less. So, James has shown a $45,540 going down to a $43,820, but in 2009 it was set at $25,620, that's on both of these. And so that's going to cause them to go up in value instead of decrease. And James says it has to err, and he's the genius on that, so.
So this is one we voted on last year?
No, you did last time we met. You voted to do it.
But
the paperwork looks like we're going to take their value down. But in fact, the 2009 assessment was already at $25,000, so we're increasing it by almost $20,000.
Where did we get our information last week if we didn't have current information?
Well, I mean, James doesn't have the same information I have. I have the 2009 BOE information. He has what he had in his books prior.
Okay, that's what I said. This was in the, as a result of the 2009 BOE, the taxes went to 25,000.
Actually, I think the motion, let me check to make sure.
One of them.
It had, yeah, one had a decrease, taking it from 45,540 down to 25,620 on one of them, and the other one had no change. It was already at 25,620, so there's no change. There is no BOE numbers. These are things that James has brought for us that you voted on, and then I was going to enter into the system and saw that it was already lower. So I needed to make you aware that you're about to increase something in a non-reassessment year. Not that you can't, but there's got to be a reason other than...
I think you need to set it right back to whatever the BOE called for 2009. Because it's got BOE hearing numbers.
For last year?
Yeah.
Unless there's a change.
So then basically we don't want to do anything.
Probably shouldn't do anything until 11.
We shouldn't do anything. We can't hear it, or anything. We shouldn't change it if it was set last year.
It was set. They both got BOE hearing numbers.
Okay.
So if you will make a motion to return both of these, or to delete them, I don't know how you're going to do it legally. They voted to approve it. Now they need to unapprove it.
We voted to approve what?
They voted to approve both of these that were presented by James, which is going to cause an increase.
In an error in calculation.
And he didn't realize it was going to cause an increase. So I brought it to him, and now we need to reverse what was done, and I don't know what the proper process is.
They were heard that.
Just make a motion to
move to reverse.
To the 2009 BOE level.
Due to an error in calculation from last week meetings.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll make a motion to return whatever number we're looking at to the 2009 value set at the BOE.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Any discussion on it?
Aye.
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 Thank you. No, it's formal, but we got to do it.
Okay, our first one this morning is Michelle Rice. It's a phone call, so I will go pull that up with your information.
We got to get that out.
This is number 72.
I've got to turn that on too.
Lane in Colorado Springs, I think I've been there.
Sure, I wrote down the right number.
Somehow on this, 917 keeps coming up before.
Is it 917 or 719?
It's 719.
Well, I know, but 917 shows up. I mean, I don't dial it, but it shows up.
Yeah, it's
and then,
Colorado.
But it shows up 917, then it shows 179 and the rest of the number. I don't know. So I dial 9 first.
Hey, Jim!
And 1.
How are you today?
Good.
How's election going?
Okay, go ahead.
Pretty good.
Thank you.
We've got election day, of course, but
I can't read this.
Visiting door to door, talking to people.
Well, you're going to get a distorted view of it today as you're talking to the candidate. But
so when you try to,
it's fine.
2 weeks before the election, people should be talking about it, and they're not.
Okay.
We had another forum last night over Rockaway. Yeah.
Do you have to hit your code out of here, too?
Yeah, it's not even giving them the opportunity to do a code.
So, I dialed my local neighborhood practicing earlier, and I just dialed 9, and then my home number.
Less than half of what I paid. Something property value are not going up. Every county on my street has foreclosed or short sale. Taxes should be coming way down.
Yeah. Mod Hill is just one of those cabins like we looked up the other day, right?
Yeah, I think this is the same story we've had.
Oh, 9-1.
9-1-7.
Well, there's 120 of 2009.
We need to check that Colorado prefix. That may be 917.
Well, what I was saying is,
how
did
I get on the internet?
Right. And then 719, it shows up on here, and I was thinking 917 was the first three.
It's definitely 719. She wrote a letter here, too.
Yeah, here's the internet. She here, too.
Tim?
Yeah?
Can we ask for some technical help over here?
I was going to say, I could.
Can you do three things?
She wanted
it. I'm working on it.
This is our well-rounded person. It's just not giving us the, you know, we're just trying to dial a long distance that won't give us the code.
That's also work back.
That's the number which I know.
719.
She's got her fax machine.
That's her fax number.
Oh, so she's got her phone on fax.
Well, let's see what she gives us up here.
Yeah, she just sent us a bunch of backup today. You see attached there.
If everybody wants to look at that, she's
4747.
Purchased the house in 06.
She gives the same number for fax and phone.
Yeah. Make sure it's not the phone.
719, that's right.
Yeah, she's giving us a fax number.
Or she's got her phone fixed. Switched
back. My guess is there's a digit off.
She purchased it in 06 for $295,000. The taxes in 07, the assessed value was 77. I mean, was 20. She's saying in 2008, the taxes were 22,330 and they went up in 2009 to 35,000, even though values dropped down. But do we have 08 sales, James?
Did you bring your sales list, Dave? I don't have mine.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
That would be the which list? I got two here, I think.
That one on that.
This one?
Yeah.
I'll ask him.
20, it'd be in line 24182 is out there in that area.
Okay, why don't you try to dial that number then?
4182.
It shows a healthcare professional of some sort.
It didn't call for a coach.
She said it'll give that funny signal if you don't.
It doesn't like a beep?
Yeah.
And then you have to put in a long, your long distance code?
Yeah.
I think she's got her phone on fax, Nikki.
That's what it is. Okay, I just want to make sure.
Yeah,
yeah, we're just getting her fax. No, I don't think Jim ever dialed any code either last week when he was doing this.
If it's long distance, you have to put your code in.
I'm sure he did.
Well, listen to this and see. Okay. We'll go ahead and do it again. We're going to see. We're looking at 9, and then 3.
James, could you tell us what the land value was in 08?
5, 9.
The land value in 08 was left at.
See, it didn't ask for a code. It just tells.
I'm assuming. I'd just be assuming it'd be 20,000 or 30,000. We raised the land out there in 08.
Oh, that was okay.
It was the code out of here,
that
I thought.
That was the code, Sam.
If it's long distance, you have to put your long distance code.
What is that code?
Okay.
Yes, is this Michelle Rice? Yes, Michelle, this is Dave Oliphant with the Taney County Board of Equalization calling in regards to your request for on your taxes, on your property. Are you prepared to talk about that right now?
I am.
All righty. Well, you have stated that the taxes you feel are too high based upon comparable sales. Would you like to... What we're going to do is you kind of tell what your feelings on it are. We have here the members of the Board of Equalization, representative from Taney County Clerk's Office, and the Taney County Assessor, James Strahan, as well as our Taney County Attorney in the meeting here. And you're welcome to...
Did you get the facts that all the...
Yes, we have all that in front of us.
Okay, you have my letter?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
So is there anything that you want to add on it? Or, you know, we've spent some time here reviewing this the last few minutes, and just wanted to see if you have anything to add on it or talk about, and then we will let our county assessor talk a little bit about comparable sales that he has and why it was based on that. But is there anything that you'd like to say prior to or in addition to the information you sent to us?
Not really. In addition, I just wanted to really point that out, and the fact that the whole street that my property is on went into foreclosure, the resort that I'm in went into foreclosure, and everything is just revalued, and everything is selling for way less than what I paid for it. So I guess I just have to emphasize that, and so I don't understand how someone could think, you know, the taxes would go up because there was more value.
Right. Well, let me explain first that the taxes are based on January 1st, the value as of January 1st of 2009. In the state of Missouri, by state statute, the assessor in each county reassesses the property every other year on January 1st of the odd-numbered year based upon the values during the prior year or so sales. So the value that was put on your place was based upon what homes were selling for in late 2007 and all of 2008. Now, we will all admit the prices have dropped drastically over the last
year or so, but that cannot be reflected until reassessment January 1st of next year. So January 1st of next year, the values that you're showing on those comparable properties will play a big part in redoing the taxes. But as for 2010, it has to be based upon the 2008 sales.
Okay, well, not realizing that or not knowing that, I did not send you any sales from 2008 because I thought they had to be recent sales, and I apologize for that. That's the way we do it here in Colorado. So
David?
I don't have any factual information to send you. I would have to do more research. However, in 2008, there were very few cabins on my street that were occupied, although they had not been sold for any particular amount. They were vacant. They were, because they went into foreclosure, that people just couldn't pay for them. And so, plus all the other promises we were made by the resort to have this amenity and that amenity had not come to fruition. So the resort itself started going downhill rapidly.
In what year was that?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
When was that? In what year that that happened? That the resort?
2008. My cabin was not finished until almost 2008, so it would be the end of 2007. And I was able to occupy my cabin, and there was a lot of people that just started walking away because of all the things that were told to us that actually weren't true, and people couldn't afford them. And right away, within probably within a month of my closing, my neighbor left his cabin. The other cabins next to me were never occupied. I was the only one in the cul-de-sac for a while until the two-story next to me was finally sold, and that was sold at a much lower price, but I don't remember what year that was. But I was alone all on that street for quite a while. In the meantime, they stopped using the golf cart. They said that you couldn't use the golf course because it was under renovation, when in fact that was not true. They had no money to keep it up, and it finally just grew over. Now it's full of weeds, and it just looks pretty bad. So I would say I probably was the only one on that street for a whole while that was in my cabin. All the rest of them were just abandoned. So I'm sorry I don't have the proof of that because I didn't go back that far to show you. But all these ones that I'm showing you now that were purchased, and you have a purchase price for them, they were all abandoned and as far back as 2008.
Right. Well, we have all that information available on all the sales down there on all the properties. You know, all the time we're getting that information in the assessor's office, and that's what he bases his assessment on. But that's probably why your taxes went up, that you mentioned in your letter, from 2008 to 2009, is that was reflecting when your cabin was completely finished. And but it was based on the purchase price. It was, of course, your assessment or your appraised value of your home is $187,000, which is considerably less than what you paid for it. But
yeah,
we know that will change in 2011 probably. But I'm going to let our James Strahan, our Taney County Assessor, if he has anything to reflect on this.
Okay.
I'm aware of the situation out there, and like I say, it's a timeline thing for the assessor driven by state statute. I think in your letter you mentioned that there had been 10 homes sold in your basically in your same price range prior
I'm
to
I'm sorry, I'm having trouble hearing you.
I think in your letter,
yes.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
that you say that there was 10 homes sold before this collapse, and it appeared that they were in your price range. That's how I came up with the value I came up with. And yes, I know about the foreclosures, and I'm pretty positive the four comparables you sent us is on that foreclosure list. It's not, so foreclosures will play a big part of 2011 reassessment. But as an appraiser knows, most of the time foreclosures doesn't weigh heavily on an arm's length transaction. But it will in 2011 because the number of them that is appearing in different locations, not just yours.
Well, like I said, when all the cabins were finished, by that time, because most of us didn't even know we were supposed to be paying this construction loan, and it put some people kind of out of the picture, but by the time their cabin was finished, they never even furnished it. They never occupied it. So I would say that was at the beginning of 2008. I was all alone in that on that street.
We have the we do have the sales of 2007 and 8 and what some of them sold for, and that's what he's saying that that he had to base it on was what those homes sold for, just like when yours sold in 2006. You know, all that information went to establishing value at that time. Michelle, we'll look over this information. We'll be discussing this more later today, taking a vote on this, and you will be notified by mail from the county clerk's office sometime in the next probably week to 10 days. You'll receive a letter as to how the board decided on this.
Okay, but do you understand what I'm trying to tell you about even back in 2007 and 2008 that those homes were abandoned and now they...
Abandonment doesn't
get around to being sold, so I have no sold comps to show you.
Now, you know, they may have been abandoned, but the price that people made contracts on and purchased them for, the ones that are being foreclosed on now, were purchased at around the same price as what yours was during that time. And that's what the assessor was saying. He has that information that he has to go on, because most of them sold for a lot higher when they originally sold, just like yours.
Yes, that's the truth. Okay, so when my taxes went from 1,000 something to 1,300, what year was that for?
That was as of January 1st of 2009. That was based on the sales of 2007 and 2008.
Okay, and so what made them go up that much?
Basically, what made them go up there was the sale of your own property. I want the board to realize yours sold in December 2006 was awful close to January 1 of 2007. So your sale was actually used in it. I have to look at the sales that has been completed, closed on, and what has happened in the values of those properties. That's why your property went up. In 2011, it tells the assessor, the information provided, that they are going down. But it didn't tell me in January 1, 2009, other than some a company had walked away from you guys and left you hanging, that there was any problem with value out there. And that information has arrived. Yes, it's here. And I know it's a distressful time for you, but it is not relevant to what has happened out there till January 1, 2011.
Okay, but one thing I do want you to know, because we did something called a construction-to-perm loan, which meant that we closed the whole loan prior to the home being finished. We closed before they even started. So it took them all this time to... build the home, and you're basing the value on when it was finished, not really when it was purchased.
Well, this is James Strahan again, one last time here. I feel like I might not have done my job in 2009, because do you realize we had your property on for $100,000 less than what you paid for it? I feel like the assessor's office has absolutely been as fair as we can be in that area up to the new information arriving here. We just had your house on for $187,000 in those years based on the studies of some good, some bad sales. So we never did put it on for $295,000, what you paid for it. And your taxes was never based on that. It was based on millions and millions.
I'm misunderstanding then what you said. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the current appraised value of your home that you're paying taxes on is $187,000 right now. And we know these later sales in this last year, the foreclosed sales will play in effect next year, but we can't do anything about it for this year. And your taxes are the same this year as they were last year. Did you try to contact the Board of Equalization or anything last year about your taxes?
I don't remember. I may not have. I just got, when I got information from the bank that my escrow had gone up, I spoke with them and they said in 2008, they were $1,085 and 2009, they were $1,378. So
right.
I was kind of shocked to hear that they would go up. And not that much.
The 2010 taxes are the same as the taxes were in 2009. They haven't changed this year. So, well, we will we'll talk about this, and you will get an answer in about a week to 10 days by letter. And we appreciate your sending us all that information.
Okay, and Dave, what was your last name? Is this Dave I'm still talking to?
Yes, Dave Oliphant.
And can you spell that for me?
O-L-I-P-H-A-N-T. I'm the vice chair of the committee. The chairman is absent today. We also have Danny Strahan, county commissioner, Chuck Pennell, the presiding commissioner of Taney County, and Kelly Trimble, another member of the Board of Equalization, the local appraiser. And the four of us, plus the other county commissioner who is not here today, Jim Strafus, serve on this, are voting members of the committee. And then the county clerks and the county assessor are both non-voting members of the Board of Equalization.
Okay, and so right now what your job is to decide what the taxes are going to be for 2011, is that what you're saying?
No, ma'am.
No,
we're listening to your complaint about what the taxes are for 2010.
Okay.
And that is the taxes for 2010 is based on January 1st of 2009. Of the sales information on the value of your home January 1st of 2009.
Okay, so that would be based on the $187,000 you gave me?
That's what the $187,000 was based, is what it was assessed at on January 1st of 2009.
Okay.
We don't know we haven't, it's the assessor is the one that sets the values. He's working on 2011 right now based on all the current sales from this last few months. But that has nothing to do with this. This is only to determine, you know, if the taxes are out of line based on January 1st of 2009 based upon your notifying us of this.
Okay, so if they were to go up, they would go up in 2011, is that what you're saying?
They will either go up or down, most likely down, yes, ma'am, in 2011, but we don't have any control over that right now. This is strictly based, all we're hearing is the value based for 2009, 2010.
Okay. All right, well then, I keep my fingers crossed that it will go down.
So. All righty. Well, we thank you.
I appreciate your time listening to me.
All righty. We appreciate your time, and we'll be back in touch with you.
Thank you, Dave.
Uh-huh.
Bye.
We are...
Same songs.
15 minutes behind schedule already.
Yes. The next one is another phone call. It is BOE number 70411. And is there a person's name when I call that?
Kyle Sinner, S-I-N-E-R.
S-I-N-E-R?
Mm-hmm. Or Tasha, I'm not sure. Kyle is the A-N.
At least you're being honest about it.
Okay.
I'm editorializing. I'm trying to have fun. I found not a lot of that snide comments.
Okay, you got the code, Dave?
Yeah, do I need to put it in before I hear something?
No, we hear that beep.
Well, there are a whole bunch of beeps.
Okay.
You'd like to call, please.
Okay, 9-1-9-1-3-6-4-7-9-7-0-0.
Wait, you didn't hang up, Greg. I didn't hear Dr. Tony the twins. Sorry.
Yes, this is the Board of Equalization from Taney County, Missouri, calling. Is Kyle Center there, please?
Just a moment.
This is Kyle.
Yes, Kyle, this is Dave Oliphant with the Board of Equalization in Taney County, Missouri, calling. You are being broadcast live over the streamed over the internet, and this is being recorded. You are before the Board of Equalization, and the Taney County Assessor and the Taney County Clerk's Office is present here in the meeting. We'd like to, if you're ready, go over what you have in regards to your problem on your taxes that we want to discuss here. What we'll do is you tell us how you feel about it. We have all the information that you sent, plus other information from the assessor, and we'll give each one of them, the assessor, a chance to talk if need be here. And then we will vote on this later, and you'll be hearing an answer then in about a week to 10 days. So would you like to go ahead with your assessment of the taxes?
Yeah, and I have Tasha Halley in here with me as well, and she's been working on this with me. Do you have the statute pulled up exactly? The short answer, this property is owned by a entity that is a designated, recognized by the IRS, not-for-profit entity. And in reading the Missouri statutes, which I don't have a copy of right in front of me, but we look at it, appears that such designated not-for-profit entities are exempt from the real estate taxes, and as such, we were applying for exemption under that particular statute.
All right. There are. We also have our county attorney sitting here too. There are several factors that enter in, not just nonprofit corporations, but how the property is used and the use of the property. Where is this property located, and how is it used?
It is used. It is located in Branson on
Expressway Lane.
Off Expressway Lane, like kind of right by 189 Expressway Lane, mm-hmm. North Expressway Lane.
Is this the,
and it is a shrine to the Holy Spirit that has been built and is still kind of, the last bit of construction is still being done on it over there. Simply as, you know, open to the public, anybody can come in and feel free to walk around, and there's different, you know.
Religious worship purposes.
Yeah, there's different, like, stations around it that are set up, dedicated to the Holy Spirit, and people can, you know, sit there and say a prayer and do their own personal religious worship as they see fit.
Are there currently any worship services that occur there on a regular basis?
There are not. currently. There's some talk and some idea about some pastors that want to do that, but nothing is going on at this point in time.
But it's still under construction, is that correct?
Well, it's largely built. There's one kind of covered pavilion at the area that is being enclosed. It was kind of a late, last-minute change order on it that the grantor of this whole plan decided he wanted to enclose a pavilion.
Okay. When did they start construction on this shrine?
Early 2008.
Early 2008, okay. Because we're looking at a warranty deed here that you sent us February 11th of 2009. Mm-hmm. So the title of the property didn't actually go into the shrine until sometime in...
but it was actually... the intention was for it always to have been done at the beginning of 2008. Okay. The land had been parceled off. Okay. However, the deed was never filed, which was our mistake. We thought it had been. And once we realized that it hadn't actually been, the deed hadn't actually been filed over, then it was done.
It was owned by a member.
That piece of land was parceled off.
It was owned by a member, correct? A member of the, an LLC or...
It was owned by, actually, Branson's Magical Mansion.
Okay. We're not looking at the use as of January 2009. We're looking as use in 2010 for 2010 taxes.
That's correct.
So right now, it's not actually used for anything. Its purpose is, it's owned by a charitable organization, mm-hmm. which we assume is religious. Is that right?
You get one or the other. You can't. It's either charitable or it's religious. You got to qualify under one. You can't, like, combine two.
Well, I mean, they're looking under 501c3, and that's charitable.
501c3 doesn't, it's not not-for-profit. It means nothing by itself.
Well, okay. Yeah.
If you look at the form, it says non-profit used for religious worship.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The first.
So
the BOE form.
You have to determine what they're trying for an exemption under, which category.
Okay.
And so, it sounds like religious, but not charitable. Is that...
Right. It is, yeah. It is religious worship and nothing to support any charitable purposes other than, you know, people's own spiritual worship.
So then you got to look at the criteria for exemption under religious. And do they meet those criteria?
If I could quickly, I went out and looked at this yesterday evening, early evening. Before the visitation, and found one couple that were there doing what they just described. One was in the chapel area, the other one was outside going around and quietly looking at the scriptures and stuff. There was one building, as he described, or she described, it wasn't quite complete. The one that was open, that was complete, had pews just like a church. They had even a kind of a pulpit area across. There was one other building that appeared to be complete, but the door was locked on it. But it's wide open. And anyway, that's what I found.
All righty. James, anything that you have on it?
Yeah, I have some questions. Who is the Bicknell family?
Gene Bicknell, he's a wealthy guy in Topeka or somewhere, I think.
Does Bicknell actually own this property right now?
Gene Bicknell owned Branson Magical, he owns Branson Magical Mansion, Inc., which was the entity that owned the land that then donated the land to the shrine of the Holy Spirit, LLC.
What kind of
31,000 piece of us?
Well,
okay. Now then, further on here, I look at it says a little limited liability company agreement of the Shrine of the Holy Spirit. I'm assuming that's between Mr. Bicknell and the shrine. Am I correct?
What are you looking at?
The LLC agreement. Now, that is the LLC agreement for that particular entity, the Shrine of the Holy Spirit, and the, you can see there that the member, the owner of Shrine of the Holy Spirit LLC is the Bicknell Family Foundation, which is a recognized charitable, is the recognized charitable organization by the IRS.
Okay, so what I want to do, though, is have our board turn to page 5 of that agreement.
Okay.
And look at winding up the dissolution of that company if it ever happened. And it says that any finances left after the payment of bills will go back to that member. I'm not seeing how that, that may be leaning away from a charitable organization and a 501(c). I don't understand how
that member is the Bicknell Family Foundation. That member is not Gene Bicknell. And that Bicknell Family Foundation is a charitable organization that Gene and the family has created that and funded that has charitable purposes, and you know, it has its own board of directors and you know, decides where to give the donated money that has been granted to them and decides which, you know, charitable organizations to support each year. So it's going back to a charitable organization and not to Gene.
Well, that'd be my only question, because it specifically goes back to a member, not the members. It goes back, it's used the term in here, and the, anything left from any profit of there goes back to that person. And I don't understand that terminology here at the end.
Well, it says the member, and the sole member on page 1 of that LLC agreement. You'll see that the defined term of the member is the Bicknell Family Foundation.
And that is a charitable foundation?
Yes.
But the Shrine of the Holy Spirit LLC is a religious LLC then, purpose.
That is correct.
Okay. So there, one last question from the assessor, too, is... this is not the entire property. This is just a small corner, right?
Correct. It's the whole property that's owned by Branson's Magical Mansion was not donated. 1.66 acres was donated.
They carved out a piece of the land that had been owned by Branson's Magical Mansion. Like, that entity owns a theater right next to it and all the land around that theater, and they just carved out this piece of it to donate to the shrine and build this shrine to the Holy Spirit on that particular piece of land that was carved out.
That's all
already.
I have.
Is there any other comments from any members of the board?
Apparently this property is used, I guess, for a religious purpose of some sort, but how does it function as part of the larger property? I mean, is it intended to be like an amenity to the theater property, or is it a separate property with its own like parking area and all that? I mean, is it a completely separate use from the theater?
It is completely separate. They're ran completely differently. The only minimal interaction would be, you know, sometimes the manager of the theater needs to deal with an issue because Gene's out of town, needs to stand in for the board in terms of going and meeting with the contractor or something like that just for a day because nobody's there in town. But other than that, I mean, they are completely separate, and the theater people have nothing to do with the shrine. We do, for example, we do all the accounting and everything for the shrine and the foundation up here in our offices up in the Kansas City area. Those guys just have nothing to do with it down there. We coordinate with all the contractors and everything for building everything and paying the people and all that.
All right, I have one more question from the assessor, and then we will close this out here.
Is there a ticket price or anything to get to the shrine in any way, form, or fashion?
No.
There is not. It is completely free and open to the public.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. Well, we thank you. We'll look over this information and gather some more information that we can. We'll discuss this, and then a decision will be voted later today, and you'll be hearing by mail in about within a week to 10 days. You'll hear the decision of the board on this.
Okay.
All righty. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Dave?
Yes.
Before you dial Mr. Braff, give it just a second. That was Carol. He was on hold in our office, so I was going to tell him to hang up.
Oh, Brad's his?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He called because we were late.
I know. Sorry. That's we got to get back on schedule. I apologize.
Swizzle stick.
Hate to tell people got behind because we couldn't dial a phone. Yet. Okay. I'll go ahead then.
Do you have another? I need some drive. This one's failing.
Let me go get one.
Well, I could just copy from one of these other guys.
No. Do I have
that? Or if you have a CD, I could copy from it.
Hello, this is Jim.
Yes, Mr. Brad, this is Dave Oliphant with the Board of Equalization in Taney County.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to inform you that this is being recorded and it is being broadcast live on the stream, live on the internet.
Okay.
We have in our membership here today. We have the members of the Board of Equalization, which is the County Commissioner, Presiding County Commissioner Chuck Fennell, County Commissioner Danny Strahan, another member Kelly Trimble, and then non-voting members are James Strahan, the assessor. We also have our county attorney, and we have representatives from the county clerk's office here in the meeting. So we'd like to go ahead and proceed. What we'll do is let you talk for a minute about what the information you sent, and then we'll be asking information or making comments from some of the members of the board, and then we will be getting back to you after we will vote on this later today, once we hear all the information, discuss it further later, and you'll hear the results in about a week to 10 days by mail from the county clerk's office. So that's kind of what's going on. So you're welcome to say what you have to say right now then.
Okay. Well, I was had sent in a request for to the board in regards to reassessment to our house. So I purchased the home at 200 Southview in Branson in July of last year. The house is on the tax rolls, was listed as improvements of 183 and land of 70 for a total of 253,000 with assessed value of 48,120. I purchased the home for 164,000. I sent a copy of my settlement statement to show that. And then I also faxed this morning, copy of an appraisal that also reflects that the market value of the house is $165,000.
Let me explain just a second here, please, that the values that we're talking about right now today is your taxes. The appraised value of your home in 2010 is based upon the January 1st of 2009. By a state statute in Missouri, the assessor of each county must assess the property on January 1st of each odd-numbered year. And that assessment stays the same during the next year. So your taxes for 2010 that we're talking about here was based on the value of the home as of January 1st of 2009, not what you paid for it or not what homes are selling for today. We know that values are down. But we have to go back and base the value of your home on what similar homes sold for in 2007, 2008 to determine a value as of January 1st, 2009. And I know that this is causing an awful lot of, our appeals right now is based because people know that values are down right now, and but we have to understand that we're not basing it on what values are today. That'll be reflected January 1st of 2011 next year. But we have to go back and base our values on January 1st, 2009, just to kind of give you a little background on where we're coming from here. So.
Okay. So what you're saying is what the house was valued at 2009.
Yeah, at the beginning of 2009.
Okay, and you're telling me that the house was first, I don't have it, an appraisal from that time. I didn't have it until July of the next year, even though it was on the market for that price prior to that then?
Yeah. The evidence, I think most of the evidence that we have leading up to January 1 of 2009 indicates, I guess, the higher values. And I guess the market more or less collapsed sometime through 2009, which will be reflected in your 2011 valuation.
Okay.
And so so if they value it in January 1 of 2011 and the values go back up, you'd have the benefit of the lower taxes for 2 years because of this two-year cycle.
The taxes actually dropped just a little bit, not a whole lot, it's almost the same, but from 2008 to 2009, when it was reassessed in January of 1st of 2009, it did drop, the assessed value dropped by $1,000 on it, which is not a whole lot, but it did show that the trend was starting to show there, evidently. But again, based on similar homes selling in 2007 and 8 is what set the value as of January 1st of 2009. Is there any other comments?
Well, from what I'm hearing from you is the information that I have sent you is not going to do any good.
It will help the assessor in January 1, 2011, yes. It's very good evidence, and that appraisal will be excellent for me to use.
Yeah, that will strongly reflect on the value of January 1st for next year, but this year, like I say, the current information, what homes are selling for by state statute, we have to base it on the values as of January 1st of 2009. So.
Okay.
Any other comments from any members of the board or the assessor have anything else? Okay, if not, we appreciate it. We will look over all this and look at your all this information you sent again. We'll be discussing it later today and taking a vote on it. You will be hearing from us in about a week to 10 days from the county clerk's office.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Dave, can I ask a question?
Uh-huh.
This appraisal says that it's valued as of June of 2009, so I'm just not understanding why that wouldn't be valid.
It should have been valued as of January 1, 2009, and they had to use the 08, 07 sales. They used a bunch of 09 sales.
Well, I mean, look at the comps that are in that. Say, look at the comps that are in that appraisal, though. Hold on, what number was that? 70?
Most of them will be foreclosure comps.
Here's what they'll be.
Most of them be what, James?
Most of them will be foreclosure comps that's in there. And it's there. I'm not saying it ain't there. I know it's there.
January 1st, 2009, you weren't using foreclosure comps, but they're becoming more the rule rather than the exception. And
okay, anything else on that one? Okay, we'll move on to the next one. It's BOE number 70005. Yes.
We need to tell him the response and stuff later. Is he still on the line?
No.
No, he already did.
I told him that. Hung up.
I'm sorry. So. I missed that.
All righty. Okay. Yes, is this Melissa Jakes?
Yes, it is.
Yes, this is Dave Oliphant with the Board of Equalization of Taney County.
Yeah.
I'm calling in regards to your request for on the appraisal of your property. We have in front of us right now the Board of Equalization, which is made up of Chuck Pennell, the presiding commissioner of Taney County, Danny Strahan, a county commissioner, another appointed person, Kelly Trimble, on the board, and myself. And we also have in attendance a non-voting member of the Taney County Assessor, James Strahan. We have our county attorney, and we have a member of our county clerk's office in attendance. You are being recorded and streamed live over the internet on this conversation. And what we're going, our procedure today is we will let you talk about your appeal of taxes, what your reasoning is. Then we will be asking some questions, making some comments from our assessor and other ones here. And then we will be voting on this later today, and you'll be getting an answer sometime within about a week to 10 days from the board. So if you'd like to go ahead and talk about your appeal.
I'm not sure what the assessed value is, if I couldn't find my tax receipt. What is the assessed value? Was it like $94,000?
That's the appraised value,
$94,405. Okay. The reason I was appealing, I paid $74,250, and I sent a list of other properties in that same development that is sold, in that all in between 69 and 79, all the duplexes and stuff are bringing somewhere in that price range.
Okay, let me explain first, because we're having a lot of confusion this year on this purpose of this. Your taxes are that we are talking about right now for 2010 are the taxes that was assessed January 1st of 2009. By state statute in Missouri, whatever your the assessors have to reassess property every odd-numbered year as of January 1st of that year. So the values of your property that we're looking at right now is what your home was worth on January 1st of 2009. So it's based on sales of 2007 and 2008 leading up to that point. We do know and we all admit that prices started going down right after that in 2009 and even further in 2010, but that has nothing to do with what the taxes should be based on January 1st, 2009. When the assessor reassesses in the odd number year next year, which will be January 1st of next year, all this information of the recent sales of properties will reflect on that, and property values most likely in most cases will be coming down quite a bit in 2011. But what we're dealing with today is strictly what the value of your home was on January 1st, 2009. So if you have any information based that shows that on January 1st, 2009, based on sales in 2007 or 8, that can reflect on this, this is what we would like to look at.
Okay. No, I didn't buy it till August of 09.
Right. So, but the value that when you bought the home, that's the value that that you paid for your house, the taxes at that point, the taxes are the same right for 2010 as they were at the time you bought your home. And that was all based upon what it was worth at the first of the year of the year that you bought it.
Okay.
Are you following what I'm saying there?
Yeah, so you're saying I really don't need to appeal until next year.
Well, wait till you get your assessment for next year and see. You'll probably be very happy with it next year. Because
okay.
You know, in most cases, all the information you sent us will help the assessor establish values for 2011. But unless we have information showing that that the value of your home January 1st, 2009 was less than what we have it at the $94,000 value, then it's hard to do anything with. So, but you will probably, most likely, every bit of information you send us will be of great value for next year.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know when they all started selling cheaper. I mean, some of them went back to February of 09. I just looked up from then forward, so I didn't go back.
Yeah.
08.
Right. Well, that's by state statute, our hands are tied. That's what we have to value property as of that date. So if that answers most of your questions, well, if there's anything else you have to say or if any of the board members have any statement they'd like to make or...
Yes, Melissa, this is James Strahan, the assessor. And you furnished these sales here, and I really appreciate it. But could you mail me something that would show the date of these sales so I can actually enter them in as being confirmed sales, and they will be excellent information for your January 1, 2011 reassessment?
I put the date on there, like on that letter. It says like 496 Van Buren sold for $79,000 on February 20th of 09.
My copy doesn't have that. It doesn't have the date of sale on ours. Does yours, Dave?
No.
No, mine doesn't.
I've cut it off now.
And it doesn't on the one that was sent, the clerk's showing on the board. Those data sales would be very important, and this would just be a favor to me and a favor to you if I could get the data of those sales.
Okay. Well, I'll use your website, your Beacon.
Okay.
That Beacon from Taney County. I got these from a real estate agent, and then I confirmed them on your Beacon.
Right, but I just need confirmation of them, and I'll gladly use them.
Okay.
All righty.
All right, well, I'll try to gather those up then.
All righty, well, we thank you, and if there's nothing else, well, we'll be voting on this later today, and then you'll be getting official notice from the county clerk's office in about a week to 10 days then.
Okay.
All righty, thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Next one, 11 o'clock, we're back on schedule almost. Another phone call. This one is Eddie Cook and Jennifer Cook. I'll make that phone call. Two different properties here, so.
And different issues on.
Hello, Captain Cook.
Yes, Mr. Cook, this is Dave Oliphant with the Board of Equalization in Taney County, Missouri.
Hey, sir, how are you doing?
Fine. Want to inform you that this is being recorded and streamed live on the Internet. You are talking to the Board of Equalization, which is made up of Chuck Pennell, the County Commissioner, Danny Strahan, County Commissioner, Kelly Trimble, a member of the board, and myself are voting members. And then non-voting members, we have the Taney County Assessor, James Strahan. We have our county attorney, and we have members of the county clerk's office here in attendance. What we're doing, let you kind of talk about your appeal of the taxes here on your property. Then we will ask some questions. We'll make some comments maybe from our county assessor. We'll talk about this. And then when we're through with all that, then we'll complete our conversation with you. We'll go on and vote on this later today in our meeting, and you'll hear the results in about a week to 10 days from the county clerk's office. We'll be sending you written confirmation of what we talked about and what we confirmed today. So if you'd like to go ahead and talk about your appeal, we have two different properties, as I understand, here.
Yes, sir. And what is your name, sir?
My name is Dave Oliphant.
Oliphant?
Yes.
Okay.
And the first property we have is, I believe, it's our BOE number 7006, but it's the property that, let me look here.
It's in Oakmont.
In Oakmont.
Okay.
And I guess both of these properties are there, or no, I'm sorry, two different locations. Okay, we'll talk about this one first then.
Okay, the one at Oakmont, it's an empty lot in phase three, lot number 9. And I believe your current appraisal value is at
$84,579.
$84,600,
yes.
And that reflected a massive jump from the previous year, almost five times the value. I had a statement, settlement statement of three recent lots that were in phase one that sold for $33,000 and a third apiece.
When were these sold?
2010.
These were recent sales?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let me explain, because this is what's causing a lot of confusion on a lot of our appeals that we're having here. The taxes that we're discussing right now are for 2010. They are based upon the value of the property as of January 1st of 2009. According to state statutes, the county assessors in the state of Missouri must assess the property on January 1st of every odd-numbered year, and that's what the taxes are for the following year also. So we base the taxes, or the assessor does, January 1st of 2009, establishes a value for 2009 and 2010. So the sales of property, what they were selling for in 2008, late 2007, and all of 2008 is what sets a value for January 1st, 2009. and that's what we have to deal with here. The value of properties that are being sold today, we know are a lot lower, but that cannot reflect by state statute until January 1st of 2011. So the taxes next year most likely will go down, but we have to have information from you showing that the property was not at that value as of January 1st, 2009.
Okay. Well, I can speak also towards the status of the property out at Oakmont Hills in this Branson Log Home area. It was the company, Branson Log Homes or Oakmont Hills Resort. It never was really a resort. I've listed some examples of the decline that was there from faulty promises and other things. The company itself has gone bankrupt. The bank has foreclosed upon it. The golf course that's there hasn't been operational in probably over 2 years, which would be in that same time frame of the tax increase that increased from around $100 to $764. The property there has been in decline and basically in shambles there. There's no owner that has purchased it, and even in the year of question, there were actually, I don't believe there has been a lot sold in that area since 2008. So in my phase three,
well, you purchased your lot in 2008 for $100,000.
Yes, I did.
And we only have it appraised at $84,600 as of January 1st of 09. So sales such as yours is what set the value as of January 1st of 2009.
Yes, sir. I understand, and I wish I knew then what I know now, both about that property in the area, but please let me articulate to you that area it's really in massive decline from those prices, and in my phase particularly. I was trying, it's not even apples to apples showing you the recent sales at $33,000, because that's in a finished phase that has a paved road and electric and water and sewer, and the lot that I have is on a dirt road and that's unfinished. In the midst of it's not worth anything near even $33,000, I don't believe.
Well, that will the situation there with the homeowners association and the amenities and everything that was there will all reflect on this next assessment. But like I say, that was not the case necessarily on January 1st, 2009, based on the sales that the assessor had to base his sales on. And like I say, just like yours, he based the sale of your lot in 2008 helped him establish a value as of January 1st, 2009. And there were some other sales there that kind of did the same thing. But there's no denying that property values have gone down, that your area is not near as desirable as it was a couple of years ago, and that will all reflect next year. But we're only dealing with the current taxes for 2010 right now, and those were the same as 2009.
So, well, I guess then what I have to propose to you is the qualitative aspect of the situation in 2009 was not reflective of the sales in 2008 that you're using to base it off of, because the company was in dire straits, the Oakmont Hills, Branson Log Homes, and the golf course was overrun and not even functional. And so there was many things going on behind the scenes other than the raw data you had of 2008 sales. That I would ask that you please look at the qualitative issues as well, not just 2008 raw data. Because the whole development was not meeting the projections.
For reminder, this is Chuck speaking. When did this happen? I mean, was it right in January of 09, or when these things become evident that the developer was not going to produce what he said and those kind of things?
Actually, in 2008. The developer was, Branson Log Homes under the, I'm sorry, the
Hey, Jim, what's her name? Yeah, who owns it?
Yeah, the Bradfords. They were really those who were in business with them, or they were cutting checks of insufficient funds. They were just doing. So I would say, starting in July of 2008 was the first sign that I recognized that the company was faltering, and there were a lot of ethical problems that they had, a lot of straight out lies that they were telling and promising, and so it continued through into last year in 2009 when they eventually were foreclosed upon.
And you purchased in February of 2008?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thanks.
And you're right. And their duress started noticeable for me in July of 2008 and completely collapsed in 2009.
All right. Is there any comments from anybody else on the board or James? Okay, if nothing else, we appreciate it. We will be taking all this information and discussing it later today. We'll be making a decision and voting on it, and you'll hear a, excuse me.
Does he have a second one, or is this?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I did a second.
Yes, I'm sorry. We'll go on to the second one then.
Okay. And that is number two. Let's see. That's number 18-1.0-01-002-006.096.
Correct.
That is a cabin in Cabins of Grand Mountain?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Just so you know, and Cindy mentioned this to me as well, apparently this is located in Thousand Hills, and Thousand Hills is also presenting a bundle of properties as well.
Having to do with the classification between commercial and residential because of the night.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I think I think that's a real big issue with Board of Equalization that we're going to be taking a week or two to try to figure out. There's some other research and stuff being done on that, as I understand.
Okay.
But that's only half of your issue. As I understand it, your claiming value is lower also.
Well, I am. The biggest issue is the split, because I think the most fair and equitable solution is to work on the split from 13 and 86 to, I believe, Thousand Hills is presenting 1/3, 2/3, and I think they would do a more professional argument. So, if I would just like to state the split is a concern. When I was, did y'all want to dialogue any about the split, or should we just refer that to the?
Well, I think we've been getting a lot of professional arguments by attorneys and stuff from Thousand Hills. I mean, there's a lot of argument being made on
that. Do you want to put his classification issue with those others?
Yeah, I mean,
to be decided at the same time.
Yeah, we're probably going to be dealing with. I would guess that we would deal with his and treat it in the same way. In order to be equitable, we'd have to treat yours the same way as we are going to be doing Thousand Hills and some of the timeshare stuff
okay.
in the town.
All right.
But that's a separate issue from the valuation. There's a value set, and then there's a classification that's set.
Right.
You're arguing the value also, as I understand it.
Yes, sir. I mentioned the value. I think you have it appraised at close to $160,000.
172 set, or excuse me.
Yeah.
202,705 total. The land and the value of the improvements.
Okay. The which is still under what my purchase price, to my chagrin as well, but the current cabins that are selling there are in the $104,000 to $134,000 range. And you know that breaks my heart seeing that, but that's where they're at right now, the two bedroom cabins.
Well, you don't
I listed a sir?
on your appeal, you don't show on there when you purchased it and what you purchased it for. When did you purchase it?
I purchased it in February 08 as well, and I'm rather embarrassed to say I purchased it for in the $260,000 range.
All right.
Okay. So that was...
Now, again, as in the other ones, we'd be looking at the value January 1 of 2009 as indicated by sales leading up to January 1 of 2009. So we'd be looking primarily at 2008 sales, preferably late 2008 sales, to indicate that value. And I think you've presented ample evidence, and there's been other people in both of these developments showing all kinds of evidence that values have dropped since then. And it seems likely that your value January 1 of 2011 is probably going to show a significant drop.
Okay.
But again, I mean, we're looking at January 1 of 2009. It's the value for the two-year assessment cycle.
Okay. In terms of raw data, I don't believe I presented you with figures. I know in 2009, I discovered after I purchased mine that there were other cabins on the market for considerably less than I paid for. And so, again, it's a qualitative picture that I'd have to give you to consider it as best as you can, that I know that cabins were selling for far under the $202,000 that you have it appraised at. I believe they're in the neighborhood of one. I remember one that was on the market for $145,000 that closed under that. And so the accurate picture I know was under that 202. Okay. And certainly, please, going forward, as you mentioned in 2011, I mean, if you want to buy a cabin out there right now, you can pick it up for $125,000 really easy. Not going through the company at Thousand Hills, but if you go to local realtors in the town, they'll give you a list of well in that price range.
That would indicate values currently. The fact that you're able to buy them now indicates what they're worth now, not necessarily what they were worth January 1 of 2009. James, do you have sales in that time frame in that development that supports your value?
Yes.
Can you elaborate on those any, or is that just...
I actually think I just got my 09-10 sales here. I don't have... Wait. I've got some 08 sales. Where's it at?
Cabin in Round Mountain.
Cabins at Grand Mountain hadn't been moving much, but at the time they did. October 31st, 2008, which is just 2 months or less than a month, 2 months from the appraisal date, cabin two, unit two, cabin 22 sold for $260,000. Unit one, cabin 22 sold for $235,000. Unit two, cabin 45 sold for $257,000, and those are all 08 sales.
Late 08 sales, leading up to the date of valuation.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So what about 2009? Do you have records of the sales in 09?
Yes, but those aren't reflective on what we're talking about here.
Unless they're real early 2009.
Because the value was set as of January 1st, 2009, so anything that occurred after that will go towards the 2011
assessment. The market evidence suggests that the values took their real drop sometime in 2009, and that as of January 1 of 2009, the best indication of value were the sales in late 2008. But I think you're going to be in for a pleasant surprise January 1 of 2011, at least I hope.
Okay. I believe it.
Excuse me. We have two issues basically on this property. What we'll be discussing here will be we'll talk about the value some more here later with our board, and then we'll also as far as the split on the commercial, that will be thrown in with the rest of them when we discuss that. So yeah. You actually have two issues. You'll be notified. It may be because we're not hearing those other issues until later this month, so it may be a few more days than the week to 10 days that we notify you as to the overall answer on your property, on this particular property.
But, okay, that's fine.
Whatever we discuss on the Thousand Hills with the other, whatever decision makes on all of that when we do the do all of them, will reflect on yours and everybody else's also, because it has to be equal. We can't just do one or two in one way and the rest of them something else. So we'll be taking a look at all of those, and whatever the answer is on the others will be the same as for yours.
Okay. Will you need to contact me by telephone or for any other information in the near future?
No, I don't believe so. I think we've got all the information we need that you've sent us.
I do have a question on the split between commercial and residential. Do you have an accounting for what proportion of the use of the property you consider to be commercial? I mean, how many room nights a year you rent in your property?
I was looking at that and pulling that, and for my particular property, it was even less than the one-third. It was the year was a fairly down year. The economy had taken a dip, and people weren't traveling in and in the as much. So I was using the one-third, two-third off of the recommendation. I think it's the recommendation of Thousand Hills. But for my property, it was less than 30% that I was able to rent it out.
Okay. So your data would support their assertion of the two-thirds, one-third?
It would, and from my data, for the best of my records, it would even be...
Even less than that.
Right, it would maybe even 80-20. So,
okay.
All right. Well, Mr. Cook, we'll be discussing this more here later in our meeting today, and then we'll be back in touch. If need be, we'll get back in touch by phone, but you will be receiving some kind of answer within a few days from now. And like I say, on this particular property, it may be a little longer because of waiting until we hear all the others before we make a decision as to the split.
We're going to try to set a policy that covers this whole situation on a whole range of properties, it sounds like.
Okay.
Well, we appreciate your comments, and then we will, like I say, we'll be notifying you then of the decision later on.
Okay, and I'm in the Army, and I'm actually getting ready to go overseas this Saturday, but my wife, you can talk with my wife if I can give you her number as well.
All righty, well, go ahead.
Her name is Jennifer,
right.
Jennifer Cook, and the phone number is 910-988-4342.
All righty. Just one digit off from the number we called today then. So. All righty.
And fortunately, I will be back in August, so I will not be gone an extensive period of time at this time. So I'll be back mid-August, just for your notes in case it's at that point.
All righty. Very good. Well, we appreciate
okay.
it, and we'll be in touch. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, we need to move on to our 11:15. We're running a little bit late. This is BOE number 70002, Bob's Rentals, doing business as Avis Rental Cars. Is a representative here?
Come on. I'm going to guess Branson Aircraft Repair is a very similar issue.
The same issue, really.
Same issue.
Are you doing both of those or just the one?
No.
She's just doing the one.
The one, okay. All righty. Your name?
Paula Crouch.
Paula. Okay. Well, you've kind of heard some of the explanations on the others of what we're doing here, so you kind of understand
right.
that. So if you'd like to go ahead and talk about your appeal on it.
Okay. Apparently this is something that is new, and as far as I know, there's really no value been assessed. But what I'm here today is to ask that this be expunged because... from my information, we don't fit into any type of category that should be taxed. And I'm going to give you some reasons. Number one is that we do not own any property there. We merely rent it from the Taney County Airport. There would be no market value to it. It's not something that we could ever sell. it's not something, if we decided to leave, that we could in turn lease to somebody else, because everything belongs to the Tama County Airport. And according to Mark Parent, who kind of heads up the Tama County Airport, he feels like he is already charging us the amount of money that we can bear, and to charge us any more would be excessive. That's just kind of our opinion, and he kind of verified that. And if we were forced to pay more money, then, you know, we would have the option of closing up our business and leaving. I mean, we have businesses in other locations, but the location that we have at the Tama County Airport. And the other thing that probably would happen would be that the Tama County Airport would be forced to reduce our rent payment by the same amount in order to keep us there, because they don't want to lose the service that we offer for their people that fly in there, and also they don't want to lose the income that they are afforded from there. And right now, we're paying $500 a month rent plus 4% of our time and mileage, which is, you know, the car rental that we get. And anyway, if we have this tax assessed to us, which we're going to be required to pay, and Tama County Airport reduces our rent, then in effect, Tama County is paying the tax to the county, which I believe is illegal.
Okay. Any comments or questions from anybody?
How long is your lease?
We do it year by year.
So it's not even in the state of the land, so it's not real estate. Your
no.
Your rent is $500 a month?
Plus 4% of time and mileage, which plus that would be a variable amount.
I'm not sure I understand.
It depends on the cars that they rent.
Yeah, they get a percentage.
We're a car rental company.
Yeah, I know, 4% of your
our
receipts
revenue.
Of your
yes.
revenues.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, time
yes,
time.
Sir.
Okay.
So it's a flat $500 fee plus...
If you were to go rent a similar space down at, say, the Harrison Airport or Ransom West or something like that, would you be paying any more or any... I mean, is that unusual? Is that an unusually low rent?
No, it's not.
So you think that's market rent for that space?
I do.
Okay. So even if it wasn't a state of land, there wouldn't be any rental bonus, so there wouldn't be any value to the lease.
You couldn't sublease it for more than you're leasing it.
Yeah,
we,
so there's
we
no
cannot.
Bonus.
I talked okay. to Mark about that, and he said that we, according to
yeah.
our contract, that we would not be able to lease it to somebody else if
so,
we were not there.
Sounds like, number one, the leasehold estate has no actual market value, and
right.
number two, it's not real estate anyway.
Right.
So even if it was, even if you were to tax it as personal property, it wouldn't have a value. So.
Alrighty.
Any other questions?
James, you have anything?
I just think it's unfair to exempt it. That's all I have.
Yeah, okay.
Is the appraisal based upon the building itself, that the property that the
building
is located?
Right, it's based upon the square footage of the building, and right. I don't know any agreements on who's made with what, but
so
I'm sure there's another car rental company in town. I'm sure there's car rental companies somewhere, and to give these folks free access without paying their taxes to the schools and entities that deserve them, I think it's an unfair situation.
So it's your contention then that, if I can find it here, that there would be some other rental company somewhere that would pay $240,000 for the right to lease that property for $5,500 a month?
No. My contention is it's a private business.
Yeah.
That is operating out of a structure provided
yeah.
by the county. Why don't the county provide everyone that business and let us deed it over to them, and
well,
we shouldn't have to pay taxes on our private businesses.
That's not in the contract that we have with the school, so it's totally different than
sure.
other cases that would be heard.
Yeah.
There are other
yeah,
spaces available that could be rented by other people.
Yeah, I mean, what's the difference between her renting from here and the pizza joint renting from a shopping center somewhere?
I don't understand what question's coming to me. What if a Pizza Hut wanted to put in there at the airport?
Well, they'd pay rent.
But they wouldn't pay taxes.
Well, the owner
on their private business.
The taxes being be part of the rent. The rent is not reduced by the fact that the county doesn't pay taxes. The county's still getting a market rent for it. Whether the county pays taxes to some other county or pays it to themselves, the value of the rent is determined in the market. I don't see where they have an asset that can be taxed.
Every other business in town has an asset of their personal property, business personal property. They pay taxes on it. Well, this don't because it's at an airport.
Well, they should pay on personal property, yeah. But that's not what we're hearing.
When it's Seaville Airport, they're a tax-exempt entity. When private business was there, they paid on their business. They paid real taxes
you're
also.
You're not taxing on their business, you're taxing their real estate. They don't own any real estate.
They paid on their real also.
My understanding is that the helicopter company has already been here, and that they were exempted from it, which would be the same thing. And I had faxed copies of our P&L for 3 years, and I think if you look that, you'll see. It's
not worth $250,000.
It won't. Well, no, it would not work.
Okay. How did we do that exactly on the helicopter deal? Was that? Did we exempt it or just say that it wasn't a real estate?
I believe the vote, I'm sure, Cindy, last week was, that was just last week.
It was the first week of BOV and we exempted it.
And we exempted, I think. I don't have the minutes of the first meeting here.
But I think it was a unanimous decision.
But I think it was unanimous that we do. So.
Okay. Well, I'd like to go ahead and move that we do that in this case as well.
Okay. I have a motion to exempt the taxes on this business. Do I have a second?
Second.
Have a second. Any discussion? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. 4-0. All righty.
Thank you.
Okay. Next.
Almost back.
Huh?
Almost.
Yeah. Next one, Branson Aircraft Repair. Is that your name?
Yes, sir. John Lawler here.
John. All righty.
Let's save some time.
It's exactly the same situation.
And I pay business property tax on all my equipment that I buy, so I do pay taxes.
So you got personal property that you pay out there.
But you rent the real estate.
I rent the building, year-to-year lease, and I'm paying, I think, above what the value is presently.
All right.
I can't sublet it, just like the other agreements.
Because of the other two, this is exactly the same kind of case. So I'm going to make a motion that we exempt it also.
All right. Motion and second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
4-0. Thank you.
May I make it technical? I don't know that you actually exempt it. It's just that the taxes are zero.
Set to zero.
Right.
Yeah, I said the motion should be whatever we did in the previous cases.
I think that's the way we worded it in the first one, wasn't it, Cindy? We set the value.
I don't have the exact wording on the first one.
Okay. Whatever it was on the first one, we need to do this.
Yeah.
These two
values at zero on both of them, really.
Okay. Yes. Well, we're ahead of schedule, about 10 minutes. You want to take a quick break?
Yes.
Let's call a 5-minute break and I'll come back. And if there's any of these you want to vote on when we come back, we will. We'll adjourn for 5 minutes.